So it's been 6 years now. It was the start of COVID. Doesn't that feel like forever ago? Michelle and I started dreaming about a house, building a house on land that we owned here in Lucas County. She was starting to work remotely. I was starting to work remotely. We realized, hey, if we don't have to be tethered to the Des Moines Metro, we can build a house far away from all of our neighbors. Paradise. So the first thing we did is we started planning the house that we wanted to build. And I drew up some rough sketches on the back of paper. Like, hey, I think I would do a living room like this, and the bedroom and the windows would face the morning sun. But if all I had were those sketches, and I went out to some builders to get quotes, they would not have given me any kind of an estimate based on my rough sketches. And if one was foolish enough to do so, I guarantee I would have gotten a house very different than what I was envisioning. So I brought in an architect, my dad. He's had a lifetime hobby of drawing up house plans, and there are tons of houses all over Wisconsin that he has drawn up himself. And so I gave him my rough sketch, and I said, Dad, can you turn this into a real house? And over the next year, we took the first draft, and we tweaked it, and we changed it, and we moved things around, and we tweaked it some more until it was exactly what we wanted. And the reason we put so much time into this plan is because if you just have a plan that you're like, that's good enough, you can build the perfect house. But with a bad plan, you can walk through the front door and realize you have a straight shot right into the powder room and go, oh man, that's not what I wanted to do. And that's not something that's easy to fix later. And here's the thing. Most people will spend much more time planning their house or what the kitchen layout is in a house that they're going to build than they ever spend planning the life that they want to live. Most people just fall into the life that they have. When moments come, decisions are made. I guess I'll take this job. I met this person here. We started talking. It grew into a relationship, and now I'm marrying that person. The job's causing me to move. I guess I'll follow that. Now I'm in another state. We just kind of accidentally, many people go through life bobbing and weaving their way without giving much thought to building a plan, to having a blueprint for the life that they want to live. And what happens for many people is after years go by, they get to the back half of life and they look at what they've built and they think to themselves, is this really what I wanted? Is this where I wanted to go? Is this how I wanted to be, to live, what I wanted to be known for? Or did I just fall into this? And what happens often is we call it a midlife crisis. And that's when all of a sudden the guy changes his hair, is wearing new clothes, and buys a motorcycle. And he's like, now I've got the life I want. Or the woman becomes very focused on maybe some dramatic changes to her physical appearance to look younger, more youthful. And they're thinking, without really giving it a lot of thought and a lot of planning, they just have this whim, I don't like the life I've got, so I'm going to quickly make this big adjustment, and now maybe I'll have a better life, a more satisfying life. And if that's you this morning, you're sitting in a life and you're like, I'm not really sure how I got here. I'm not really satisfied with what I'm doing here. Or maybe I've been trying to live this life, but I'm just kind of left feeling meh. Just a little bit empty, like there's got to be more to this thing. Then I want to encourage you and tell you that while changing things in a house is difficult once it's been built, God can change your life. Even though maybe you've been building on accident, things haven't gone the way you want, there's still time for God to make drastic changes for your life. There's time for you to say, you know what? I need to make a course correction here. I need to build this thing differently to achieve what I want to achieve. You're not stuck with what you've built. God is in the restoration and the rebuilding business. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about how to build a life worth living. The foundation and framing for a faith that actually matters. Because here's the thing, I think a lot of people settle for the label of, I'm a Christian, but then they still live a life that really doesn't have Christ as any part of it. They're choosing their own life. Jesus is on the side. They're claiming the name of Christian, but their faith doesn't actually impact them in any of their decision making and how they spend their money, how they spend their time, how they treat other people. They just go about their life on their plan. And then as they get to the back half, they say, you know, this hasn't been all that it's cracked up to be. We're going to talk about how to live a life that actually matters. So today, we're looking at where every house begins, and that's the plan and the foundation. Because you can build everything up, but if you don't have a plan that gets you what you actually want to be building, and you don't have a foundation that's solid, then nothing else matters. And here's what we all understand. Nobody can opt out of building a life, whether you want to or not. Every day and every choice you make is like putting another block on the house that you're building. Every way you treat somebody, favorably or with anger because you lost your cool, it's another block. It's building this house of your life, whether it's intentionally how you want to build it or it's by accident into something that is kind of a monstrosity and you're not very proud of. But you've got the opportunity to be intentional. Some people build with a plan, and their lives look more structured how they actually want. Other people, it's as though they just have a back-of-the-napkin sketch. I'll get married, I'll have kids, and I'll retire someday. And maybe they're moving towards that goal, but it's not exactly where they wanted to end up. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells us a parable of a successful farmer who had a bumper year crop. He had so much grain come in. In fact, he had so much that he didn't have room to store it all. And so he wondered to himself what he would do with all the excess. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 18, Jesus is telling the story. Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." This guy's not lazy. He's not stupid. He's successful. He built his whole house, however, his whole plan, without God anywhere in the blueprint. By many people's estimation, they would look at this guy who's got a really successful farm, so big that he needs bigger barns, and say, "Wow, that guy's a success." Yet God calls him a fool. Why? Because the man's plan didn't have God any part of it. His plan was what he wanted to do, how he could make himself more comfortable, how he could be the center of everything. And that's our fallen human condition, a life of selfishness, ease, and comfort. He had a plan, he had hard work, but God still called him a fool. Long before Jesus came on the scene, King Solomon, the richest and wisest king at the pinnacle of Israel's reign, 800 years before Jesus walked this earth, he wrote a psalm detailing the most important part of one's personal success. It's Psalm 127, and it begins with the verse, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." It's such a simple sentence. But think about it. So many of us are so active trying to build our life how we want it, focused on ourselves, on our joy, on our contentment, doing everything inwardly focused. And Solomon's saying, unless the Lord builds the house, everything you're doing is in vain. Some of you have worked incredibly hard on a life that isn't making you very happy. Right now you look at it and you go, this hasn't led me to where I was hoping I would get to. You feel like you're giving it your all. You have no extra free time. You don't have any extra money. Your relationships all seem to be a grind. And everything just feels harder than it should. And understand, if you're in that situation, it isn't because you're having a work ethic problem. Perhaps it's because you've got the wrong blueprint. You've got the wrong plan for what you're trying to achieve. If your life hasn't led you where you want to go, perhaps you're living according to the wrong plan. If you're not where you want to be, perhaps you're living according to the wrong plan. Every person needs to consider, do I have a blueprint for where I actually want to be? Perhaps you've been waking up every morning and trying to get through the day-to-day grind with no guiding principles, no plan, and no connection really with the God who created you. And you wonder why your life isn't taking the shape that you want it to. And the reason you're feeling that tension is because there's something intrinsically inside of you that knows there must be something more. There must be something more than that feeling every morning when you wake up and go, I guess I'm going to work. And I'm coming back to a house where there's just not peace. And I just am living a life where there's nothing that feels satisfying. Because God made you, and there's something inside you that knows He made you for better than that. I'm always reminding the youth in our church, God made them for more. When I was raising my boys, I would often pray with them at night that God would help them grow into the incredible young men that they were created to be. I'm always trying to hold up the bar. God's got something incredible in store for every one of us. But if you don't see the vision and you don't have the plan for the glorious life that God made you for, then you settle for something far lower, far less satisfying, far more mundane. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, points us to what God has in store for each of us. I love this verse. It says, you are His workmanship, created for good works He prepared in advance. Your life had a design about it before you ever had an opinion about what your life was supposed to be. That's why God made you unique. He gave you special gifts, a special wiring. He gave you strengths and weaknesses. He made you different than everybody else. Because that amazing version of you is a version that shines the light of Jesus to others, that is a blessing to others, that makes a difference in the life of others. That's the greatest thing we can achieve, is to be a blessing to others, not always focused on ourselves, not like the man that says, I'll just build the big barns so that I can be super lazy, sit down and watch TV all the time, but that we can be people who are giving of ourselves. We were created as His workmanship, created for good works, prepared beforehand. And so His desire ultimately is for you to join this beautiful and eclectic family of God and to make a difference wherever God has put you. And then if we jump over to Paul's writing in Romans chapter 28, there's a really famous verse that many of us are familiar with. Bert preached it a few weeks ago. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. That's the famous part. But where that verse continues, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. There is a purpose that God has for every single one of us, and it's simple: to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That's what God wants for each of us. If you are the closest version that you can be to living like Jesus, then you are fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You're fulfilling the call that He has for your life. That's the purpose, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It's a blueprint. It's made available for all of us to read it in the scripture. This is what Jesus teaches. This is how we're supposed to live. Unfortunately, some people think that their purpose is more like a treasure map, and that it's their job to uncover exactly what God's unique calling for them happens to be. And so they pray and they say, God, help me to find the one perfect person you have for me to marry. God, help me to figure out the exact college that you have in store for me, that is the only right college for me to go to. And we pray all these unique things, thinking, I call it the McFly understanding of God's calling, Marty McFly. Like, if you make the wrong decision, you get off of the path of life that God wants us for, and you're on an alternate path, and everything goes bad, and everything falls apart. But that's not how God works, okay? God doesn't have a single exact purpose for you. And if you make the wrong decision while you're young, you screw it all up for the rest of time. The verse that's made a culprit for this sometimes that people blame would be Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is this idea that we ultimately, for I know the plans I have for you. And so we say, okay, God's got specific plans for my life. But what we are missing is when God says that, He's really speaking to the people of Israel who have just gone into exile in Babylon. He's got a plan for 70 years. They're going to live in Babylon. And He's telling them, I have a plan for you, the people, the nation of Israel, but it's not a plan for individuals, okay? God's plan for us as individuals is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Now, some of you may have just heard, become like Jesus, and you filed that under religious, and you say, okay, Ryan, that's not really my thing. Like, I go to church on Sundays, but how does becoming more like Jesus actually change my life? How does it make any difference in the satisfaction that I experience in the day to day? Well, here's what becoming more like Jesus looks like. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where we have this famous passage about the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. And we hear the fruit of the Spirit. You're like, oh, that's a church word. No, this is not a church list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not just a nice list of positive words. It's more than a devotional. Patience is a marriage word. If you get patience right, your marriage is going to be better. Kindness is a coworker word. When that coworker is driving you nuts and they're asking you to do their job that they're failing to do, having a little bit of kindness in that moment is putting skin on what some could say, well, that's just a spiritual list. No, it's not a spiritual list. This is a day-to-day rubber meets the road list. Self-control is a checkbook word. How are you spending your money? What are you saying no to? What are you saying yes and being generous to? This picture of nine fruit is not just for those who want to take a deep dive into their spirituality. It's for people who want to live a life that matters, changed by the Spirit of God, realizing the blueprint isn't the very details of where you're going to end up. The blueprint is being conformed to Jesus. Here's why a life built on Jesus ends up more satisfying. And it isn't because God's just going to reward you for getting all the gold stars. It's because you finally stop living against the grain of how God made us. You were designed to live how Jesus lived. You were designed to be generous, because hoarding is exhausting. I know, the more equipment I buy for my farm, the more I have to maintain. It is exhausting. I'm starting to offload some of the equipment. You were designed for all these great things in your life, like to forgive people, because carrying the burden is so heavy. But sometimes we hold on to the grudge because we're like, ah, I'm not willing to let it go. They don't care that you're still angry at them. You were designed to let it go. That's what Jesus teaches us. That's what the blueprint calls us to. If you can learn to do that, your life will be more satisfying. Every time that you live according to the way God made you, you line your life up with God's plan for you. Well, you line your life up with how Jesus taught us to live. That's when you're going to find things falling into place. You're going to find greater contentment. And when things just feel like they're not going how they should, everything's just kind of grinding to a halt, that's typically because you're trying to do things your own way. And you've got the wrong plan. John 10:10 says that Jesus came so that we would have life and have it in abundance. And whatever you understand that abundance to mean, I can guarantee you Jesus wasn't just talking about having a great Sunday morning experience. That having life to the fullest in abundance points to every day of your life being better because you follow and you live your life according to Jesus. Going back to this idea, this fallacy people have that God's calling is one specific thing, I came across an online thing where a guy was talking about how awful he felt because 30 years ago, he felt God call him to be a missionary, but he didn't go. And so now he's filled with regret and shame of the life that he never fulfilled, the life that God was calling him to have, because his understanding was that God only had one choice for him to make. He made the wrong choice. He left the plan for his life, and he wasn't able to satisfy God the rest of his life. And I thought, that's not true, guys. Understand, that's not true. That is bad theology that is leaving him racked with guilt and shame. Because God's plan isn't a place, it's a person. God's plan isn't a place, it's a person. His plan isn't for you to just end up at one specific destination, marrying this person, taking this job, retiring in this community, and buying that house. Regardless of the decisions you make, you can always get the plan right by saying, shape me to be more like Jesus. Shape me to live my life more like Jesus. So that's the plan, to become more like Jesus. But you can have a perfect plan and still lose the house because everything rests on the foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus tells a very famous parable. He says, first in verse 24, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus says, that man, the storms come, but the house stays standing because he built it solid. The storm comes, everything is okay. But in verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. That same storm comes, but in this case, the house comes crashing down. The detail so many people skip over is both men heard the same words. They had the same sermon, the same instructions, followed by the same storm. But they had two totally different outcomes. The difference wasn't the information they received. The difference is what they did with it. Some people come to church and they read their Bible. They hear what God wants for their life and they put it into practice. They've got the blueprint and they build off the blueprint. That's building a foundation on rock, on stone, as Jesus says. Other people take the easy way. They may listen to the message, they hear the words, but then when they build their life, they make it convenient. I can tell you, building on soft soil, way easier to level things out. You got a little high spot, you just shave a little bit of the dirt. You got a low spot, you just dump a little bit dirt in that low spot. Easy peasy, you've got a level foundation. But if you're building a shed on soft clay soil that all of Lucas County is, then that shed is going to shift. It is going to move around if you don't put piers or rock or concrete posts in the corners. You're going to have a problem. It's easier. It's way easier to build on the soft ground. But it doesn't last. And that's what Jesus was teaching here. You can go to church every week, listen to the pastor, listen to messages on the radio or watch them on TV, and you can think you're achieving something because you're hearing. You're listening. I'm listening to all these messages. If you aren't putting it into place, your life is sand. Your foundation is sand. You have to do something with what you are hearing. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of building up your faith in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. He says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So here's the critical starting point for a life worth living. It has to be founded on Jesus and put into practice his teachings. Any ideas you have for the life you want must start with Jesus. Everything else, you put yourself first, you put your wants first, you make your list of the perfect person you want to marry, and it starts with how they look and all their hobbies and all these things, and you forget to even put, they should be a Christian, on that list. You're building a bad list. Your foundation is on your desires. You're building on sand. You have to put Jesus first. Everything else leaves you with a life that is unsatisfying. And I know this feels like a churchy answer, but the fact is, there's studies out that show church attendance leads to higher levels of happiness in life and even living longer. Now, I'm not telling you come to church next week so you can have a longer life, but we shouldn't be surprised that when a group of people try to live their life according to how the God who created us tells us to live our life, that things go better. That shouldn't be a surprise. And many studies are trying to kind of find that correlation, and they all connect the same dots. So this morning, if you haven't been as satisfied with your life as you want, or maybe you started out with the right plan and you started out on the rock, but there's been drift. You've let life just happen. Your faith journey, you know, like, I trust Jesus, I believe Jesus, but man, lately I've become comfortable. Lately I've become focused on myself, my ease, my plan for my life. Let today be the day that you reset, that you get back on God's blueprint for your life. And it starts not with you and your happiness. It starts with God and his glory and the character of Jesus Christ. It starts with putting Jesus first. With, if you haven't surrendered to him as your Savior and as your Lord, it's saying, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to trust you with my life because what I'm doing isn't working. It's saying, Jesus, I need you to be the foundation and not just an addition. I think a lot of people would call themselves a Christian, because maybe they grew up and they have fond memories of going to church with grandma, or their whole family's just like, we're just Baptists. That doesn't make you a Christian. People maybe know that they're supposed to have Jesus as part of their life, but they put him on the side on Sunday morning every other week. It's kind of like somebody designing a house and then saying, oh, I'd like to have a place to like hang out outside. So you just put that sunroom that's just like an appendage off the back of the house. And you're like, there, now that's a room on the house. Well, kind of, but it's not really integrated in. I think that's what a lot of people do with Jesus. They say, okay, I've got my life, and I got Jesus over here. And so I got my bases covered. I'm good. But if you do that, you don't actually have a faith that saves. A faith that saves puts Jesus first. It makes Jesus the foundation. A faith that saves means the decisions that you make in your life are impacted and influenced not by what's going to make you the happiest, but by what Jesus says you're supposed to do in accordance with his word. Now, the Bible doesn't tell you exactly what to do with every moment and every decision of your life, but there's definitely enough in there to point you in the right direction on most decisions that you make. That's the life that Jesus wants for every single one of us. He wants us to have a faith that puts Jesus as the foundation, his teaching as the direction of all that you choose, and his character as the goal that you strive towards. Anything less is just settling for something less than God's best for your life. God wants you to be satisfied, but not satisfied how you get to pick, satisfied in him and what he's picked for your life. When you build a house, you can't move a wall after the concrete cures. But fortunately, God's not limited by that. Today's the opportunity for every one of us to make a course correction. To say, you know what? This plan I've been working to isn't working. Let me put Jesus back in the foundation. Let me build my life on him. Let me get back to working on my character, to becoming like Jesus, not trying to control other people to do what makes me happy, but saying, no, I'm going to work on me and what I know makes God happy. When you get that plan right, you get that foundation right, everything else has the opportunity to be successful. You have the opportunity to build the life that you've always wanted. So I hope you'll take that opportunity, and I hope that maybe you'll consider how this message and this series might apply to somebody in your life, because we all know this is a message many people need to hear. There are a lot of people running around living their life off the wrong plan. So I encourage you, bring somebody to church with you next Sunday who needs to hear this message of getting your life right with Christ so you can build the life you actually want. God is not hiding a treasure map from you. He's given us all a very clear blueprint founded on Christ. The only question that matters this morning is whether you're willing to build on it. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?